सहना पपतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनापधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस, मे ही गाइड अस, मे ही गिव अस स्ट्रेंथ एंड राइट अंडरस्टैंडिंग। मे लव एंड हार्मनी बी विद अस ऑल। पीस 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 बी अंटू ऑल। वेदांत सार अपसदानंद जोगींद्र। वी आर नाउ स्टडिंग द जीवन मुक्ति पार्ट ऑफ वेदांत फिलॉसफी। द गोल ऑफ वेदांत इज टू अटेन फ्रीडम, मुक्ति। बिफोर यू try to understand mukti, liberation, you must have a good concept about bondage. What is bondage? Ashakti bandhan, attachment, clinging to life, clinging to this world is bondage. Bandhan. All suffering comes from bondage. And the peculiar thing about human beings, nobody likes to be bound. Everybody wants to be free. Maybe old man, maybe a child, housewife, or a man. In every respect, you always try to want freedom. Do you know why? Because your very nature is free. That is in your inherent nature. Nobody cares for bondage, slavery. It is true. Even your little child, you know, I want to be free. What is suffering, pain, dukkha? This body is the Atman. This is the cause of suffering. Identification with the body. The moment you identify yourself with your body, you are limited. Limitation is bondage. How the philosophers, this whole book is connected with freedom. What is freedom? There are six types of Indian philosophy discussed elaborately about freedom. The Shankara philosopher says, cessation of misery is liberation. Subtraction of pain, suffering is liberation. Separation from the Purusha and Prakriti is liberation. Purusha means Atman, consciousness. Prakriti means nature. Just have a complete divorce from nature. That is liberation, according to Shankara. The Indian philosophers just divided two sets of liberation. First, upasana labdha mukti. We attain liberation through spiritual disciplines, through prayer, through meditation. And that liberation is also of five kinds. Shalakya. Some people love to live with God. I want to go to heaven and live with God. Shalokya. Loka means abode of God. Sharupya. I love my God, my beloved, so much that I like to have like his form, you know. I am just another form of my beloved. Sharsti, I want similar power of my beloved God. Sajujya, I like to be in union with my beloved God. Sharupya, Shalokya, Sajujya, Sharsti, Samipya. Samipya means I love to live with my God, very close. These are the five kinds of dualistic liberation according to the dualistic school of Vedanta. Christian concept also similar. I like to go to heaven and live with God. But Vedanta, non-dualistic Vedanta, talks about kaivalya mukti. No form, just be one with God. Just like a salt doll merges into the ocean, become one with the ocean. That is Vedantic concept of God, liberation. Can one attain this liberation? That is the question, is mukti. Can it be attained? Shankara says, no, it cannot be attained. What do you mean? You are already free. Why are you trying to attain freedom? You forgot your real nature. That is the reason you are suffering. Just regain your own empire. They call it Sharajya Siddhi, regain your own empire. They give this illustration that you have a necklace below your turtleneck sweater, and you are searching your necklace, thinking that it is lost. One of our friends came and pointed out the necklace. Immediately you are happy. Oh, yeah, necklace is here. Liberation is just like that, according to Vedanta. You are already free, but you do not know. You are unaware of it. Atma nitya mukto, your Atman is ever free, ever perfect, ever pure, sinless. But you think, I am a sinner, I am limited, I am sick, I am this, I am that. These are the superimposition of the Atman. Upadhi. That is the reason we suffer. Then what do we need? We need knowledge, which removes the ignorance and manifests our real nature. That we need. Very simple. Bandhan or mukti? I told you many times, Vedantic concept of mukti is not to go to heaven. Because if you go to heaven, kshine punye martalokam vishanti, you go to heaven because of your virtuous deeds. You did a lot of virtue. So the result of your good karma, you go to heaven. But when the result of good karma extinguishes, finishes, again you will have to come back to this earth. Why? Because this whole universe is related with karja karan sambandha, cause and effect theory. Every effect must have a cause, every cause must have an effect. So the whole universe, the manifestation, this whole universe is connected with this. Swami Vivekananda used to say, gold chain is equally strong to bind you. Iron chain is also a chain. Gold chain is also a chain. Gold chain means a good karma brings happiness, peace, joy. That is also a chain. And bad karma is just like iron chain. Both are chains. So what is our goal? Transcend both. Vedanta will always try to take you to a place where this duality, these pairs of opposites, do not function. Where there is happiness, there is misery. Where there is profit, there is loss. A duality, a pairs of opposites, all is in the domain of Maya. Our goal is to transcend it. Now I shall read that verse. Vidyate hridaya granthe siddhante sarva samshayaha kshiyante chaisya karmani tasmin drishte paravare. This verse is a classic in Vedanta literature. when you become free, attain freedom, what happens? How do I know that you are free? Vidyati hridayogranthi, hridayogranthi, you have a knot in your heart. Do you know what does it mean, that knot means? That is called chit jada granthi, or the consciousness and the unconsciousness meet. That is the meeting point. That is your mind, antakarana, the inner organ, we call it heart. In that heart, this consciousness reflects on the buddhi, in the intellect, and animates this whole body-mind organism. That is the conduit. That is called granthi. Granthi means knot, K-N-O-T. Hridayo granthi vidyate, these knots of the heart are cut asunder. Well, who creates that knot? Actually, what does it mean? Knot means desires. I remember our teacher used to give an illustration, a bondage and liberation. Well, did you see that in Indian women, how they make their braid with their hair? They separate their hair into three parts, you know, and then they entwine them with one another, and then they set it on their head. But these three, the tufts of hair, you may call it the trigunatmika prakriti, three gunas. In this way, they entwined and then they set on their head. He was talking about that when a child wants to come out from the womb of its mother, at that time a tug of war goes on. The womb does not want to release the child, and child wants to come out from the womb. It is a tremendous tussle goes on at that time. Well, that is called bondage and liberation. The soul wants to be free, and the mother's womb is trying to bind the soul. Well, try to imagine, then you will understand what is called bondage and liberation. That little baby sitting in the womb of the mother, oof, 9 months seated there. I want to be free. You can visualize, really, if you, graphically, you can see what is called bondage and liberation. So the Upanishad says that how do you know this person is illumined? His knots, his desires are gone. Chiddante sarva samshaya, all doubts are dispelled. He has no more doubt. I remember once a devotee came to Belur Math and told Swami Premananda that he had a spiritual experience. He has the vision of God. Premananda says, are you sure? Well, yes. Do you have any doubt? You know, time to time a doubt comes. Hainai, hainai. You have not seen God. When that Atman, when that experience comes, immediately all doubts disappear. Shashang Vidya. When your stomach is full, you know your stomach is full. I cannot tell you. You know my stomach is full. I can't eat anymore. Similarly, when a person experiences this Atman, he knows, I got it. He does not have any doubt. Shyante chaisya karmani, all works cease to function. He has no motivation to do anything. Tusmin drishti paravare, when one experiences the Supreme Reality, the person when realizes the Atman, he does not have any more desire. What shall I desire? What shall I seek in this world? Purnamada, I am full. Sri Ramakrishna says, if the pitcher is full, it does not make any noise. If the water fills the whole jar, it does not make any noise. But if there is an emptiness, you know, if you put it into the water, bhak, 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 some sound will come until and unless it is full. So this man is completely full. Now the question arises, says, kshiyante chasya karmani, all works disappear. He cannot function. Why? Why? Because he does not have an ego. No ego. But then how does he live in this world? And Sri Ramakrishna gave a very beautiful illustration. But here is a diamond. If you try to rub, it will, you know, it will go away. Only little will remain which you are holding with your fingers. Little remains. The Vedanta teachers admitted that avidya lesh, a tint of avidya remains. Otherwise, who will be the witness of his own experience? Do you know what they are talking about? The moment you are illumined, if your all ignorance goes away, then your body will drop on the floor. You are supposed to, if you have no motivation, no desire, that means like a ripe fruit falls from a tree, so your body will drop on the floor right now if you have no desires. But we see an illumined soul also moves around, eats, sleeps like all of us. How is it possible? The tradition says, a little avidya remains due to prarabdha, that momentum action that I explained to you last time, that you are driving a car over the mountain, and now it is a slope, you turn off the engine, you are just maneuvering the steering wheel, and the car will stall when it comes in the plane, bus. So similarly, at that time, this due to momentum, this car moves. So after the illumination, this body remains as a momentum. And when that momentum is over, it will drop, it will stall, it will fall. If there is no, if you do not believe jivan mukti, you see some people raise this question, the jivan mukti, liberated in life, free while you are living. If you do not admit these things, that a little ignorance remains, then you will not get illumined teachers. You will not get any testimony from anybody who will tell you that I have experienced that illumined one who is beyond darkness. Knowing him alone, you can transcend death, says the Upanishad. Who will tell you all these things? You remember last week I gave that illustration? Four persons went to see what is behind the wall. Three persons jumped inside. One person saw it and came back and told them that what he saw, the glimpse of the infinite. Christ, Sri Ramakrishna, Buddha, they are avatars, they come and tell us God exists, Atman exists. I have seen God, you can also see. These people are the testimony, their lives are the testimony. Now the question arises, that you know, after this illumination, ignorance disappears. If ignorance disappears, then a deho, moon, your body, mind, senses, they are all product of ignorance. They are supposed to stop, because ignorance is not there. And if you say that part of the ignorance is gone and part of knowledge is there, then you are contradicting yourself. This room cannot be partly dark and partly lighted. See the position? The opponent is arguing with Vedanta that you are believing that a person, you know, still his ignorance is little bit there in spite of his full illumination. How is it possible? That is the argument. They call it Nirmalibat. Nirmalibat means, do you know what Nirmalibat? I have seen in our village, my mother used to purify water. We used to bring water in one tank in the village where people will not bathe. All the rain water will be accumulated. And then that water will be used for drinking purpose in the whole village. Of course, later we had tube well. That water, we cannot drink all tanks of water, that particular tank. And then she will bring water, then alum. There is a bamboo, like a, what is called tong, with the holding an alum, she will rotate into the water few times. Then if there is anything, you know, any sediment, all these things will drop at the bottom. So this alum purifies the water and then disappears, melts. You put your dirty clothes into your washing machine. Then you put detergent. What does the detergent go? Detergent cleanses the cloth and also goes away through the hose, disappears. So this knowledge, you know, comes in the system. Ignorance slowly disappears. Main ignorance goes away, but little remains, that also disappears. It is hard to argue this way, but this is the truth. That is the way it works. Believe, you know, it is, you are talking, you know, your argument is not very logical. Vedanta says, look, pratyaksha, there are various kinds of evidence, proofs. Do you know what is the most powerful evidence? Pratyaksha, perception, direct perception. I have seen you. I don't need to guess work or to bring another kind of, you know, arguments. I have seen you. That's it. That is pratyaksha. When Sri Ramakrishna says, I have seen God, I have seen Mother, who will go and argue with him? If somebody says, sir, it is your hallucination, it is your imagination, forget it. What do you mean? Mother talks to me. I asked Mother, I talk to him. Talk to her. How do you know? You see, realization cannot be nullified. Do you know how? You have tasted sugar. If I say sugar tastes bitter or sour, will you accept my word? You won't. You won't accept me. I may be a great scholar. Swami, I have tasted sugar. I know sugar tastes sweet. And you are telling me sugar tastes bitter or sour. You go away. I don't like you. I don't like to accept you. See, this is called direct perception. Anubhuti. So Vedantic experience depends upon anubhuti. Anubhuti experience cannot be nullified. Reason can be counteracted by higher reason. Guesswork can be counteracted another guesswork. But experience cannot be counteracted, cannot be nullified. That is the way Vedanta goes. This man who has experienced the Atman is describing his experience in the Upanishads. And if you go and argue with him, he will laugh at you. I have seen Calcutta. I am coming from Calcutta. You have never seen Calcutta. If you say Calcutta does not exist, I shall tell you are a stupid person. I was brought up in Calcutta. I know the city very well. And you say, I have not seen Calcutta. So you go. I don't like to accept your word at all. See, that is called pratyaksha, direct perception. That is the way Vedanta functions. Anubhuti. Some aspects, I always say, reason does not work. Atman is beyond reason. Ayam tu buddhana shumai, mangsa sunita mutra purishadi bhajanena sharirena, andha manda apochuttvadi bhajanena, indriya gramena, asanaya apipasa asoko mohadi bhajanena, antakaranena cha, purva purva vasanaya kriyamanani, karmani, bhujyamanani, gyana abhiriddho arabdha falani cha, pashyanavi badi tattvat, paramarthato, napashyati. Such a liberated man, while he is not in samadhi, sees actions not opposed to knowledge, taking place under the momentum of past impressions, actions that have already begun to bear fruit, which he experiences through the physical body, composed of flesh, blood, and other things, through the sense organs, affected by blindness, weakness, incapacity, etc., and through his mind, subject to hunger, thirst, grief, delusion, etc., yet he does not consider them as real, for he has already known their nothingness. As a man who is conscious that a magical performance is being given, even though he sees it, does not consider it as real. Buddhan. After samadhi, after illumination, when a person comes to the normal in this earthly plane, what happens? His behavior, his action, his talk, his manner becomes different. I remember Swami Prabhavananda used to told me an incident. One day Swami Premananda in Belur Math became very angry and scolding a monk and says, get out, take this coin and get out and cross this river. I don't like to see your face again. And Swami Prabhavananda was then a young monk. He was thinking, shh, what kind of holy man is this? He becomes angry like other people. You know, Prabhavananda was very much surprised. Then Baburam Maharaj is looking at Prabhavananda and just smiling. And again he was looking at that brahmachari and scolding. And again he was smiling. Then he was really puzzled. He was thinking, what is going on? Later Prabhavananda told me, then Baburam Maharaj said, you know, my anger, I had to make a special effort to make myself angry for the welfare of that boy. So the anger is on my lips, not here, not in my heart. You saw me angry, that came from here for his welfare. I have no motivation, self-interest in this world, except the welfare of all people. You Ulumin soul is Ishwar Koti, God-like soul. When a holy man is angry with you, you should feel that you are blessed, at least. And he is taking away your karma. He is making extra effort to be angry on you. Jivan Mukta, illumined soul, their action, behavior is different. He sees the world in a different way. If you have jaundice, what happens? You see everything yellow. So this person sees the world in a different way. When Chaitanya was going to Vrindavan. He was in gaunt, intoxicated state. One of his disciples diverted him toward Navadvip. He did not know in which direction he was going. He was so intoxicated. Seeing the muddy Ganges water, he was thinking it was Yamuna, and he was thinking about Krishna. Then when he came back to his senses, he realized that he was near his home. So you see, Sri Ramakrishna said, Premir Kajol. Kajol means collyrium of love is on his eyes. He sees his beloved everywhere. Krishna darshaner par Krishna darshan. After seeing Krishna, you will see Krishna in everybody. His whole outlook changes. As Sri Ramakrishna says, he has a philosopher's stone. When it touches the knife, it becomes gold, and that gold knife cannot be used. It looks beautiful. But you cannot cut anything with that gold knife, which is so soft. So when a person is illumined, his whole body, mind becomes saturated with divinity, God consciousness, bliss, peace, happiness. If you go and sit near such a soul, you will be so peaceful. Sadananda Yogindra mentioned Jadukar, magician. Magician is creating so many things on the stage, and people see it and they think those things are just real. But the magician knows that nothing of those things are real, just tricks. You see on the stage a beautiful young girl, and the magician is bringing a chainsaw and will cut that girl into two pieces. That girl lies down under a box and he shows that how sharp is that chainsaw. He takes a piece of wood and will show you, cut in no time. Then he will put his chainsaw and see that two girls are separated. After 2 minutes, you see this girl is coming behind the spring and raising two hands. Here I am. Show. Everything is a show. And you buy ticket, $50 ticket, you go there to see that magic show. To you, you know, you think that that show is real. That girl, everything is real. But the magician knows it is my show, my tricks. That is the way that illumined soul sees this world. Just magic. This whole universe is the magic of God. God is the greatest magician. He created all this illusion by his own Maya. One day Sri Ramakrishna was telling Saint Durgacharan Nag, you know, I am just a person lives here, priest of Dakshineshwar Kali temple, and you know, I have all these problems. Nag Mahasaya immediately said to Sri Ramakrishna, Master, you cannot delude me anymore. I know you are. You are God in human form. You are trying to throw dust on my eyes and try to evade. I won't let you go. I know you, who you are. Sri Ramakrishna smiled and said, well, you have caught me. You have caught me. This illumined soul, he works. Swami Vivekananda, Shankaracharya, they are all illumined souls. Attain Nirvikalpa Samadhi, world is just nothing to them. Still they work and function in this world. Why? What for? Out of compassion. a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna used to catch fish. Sri Ramakrishna scolded him and said, "Why do you catch fish? Why wrong? What is wrong, master? The fish is the Atman, I am the Atman, Atman is indestructible. Atman does not kill anybody, Atman is not killed by anybody." Sri Ramakrishna said, "What you say is true. But if you experience that Atman, your that angle, that shipping line will drop from your hand. Your desire will not come to hurt anybody. My boy, you are befooling yourself, you are deceiving yourself. You are philosophizing your action. If I really know you are the Atman, I cannot kill you. Because your Atman, by killing you, I am killing myself. Atman is one, Atman cannot be two. If you have that unity of experience, you cannot kill anybody. You cannot hurt anybody. My boy, you are deceiving yourself. Listen. A holy person keeps one thing with him, that is compassion. Never deviate from that holy ideal, compassion. Love for the people. Be compassionate. The world is suffering with misery. Can you sleep? Love people, serve people. So in the Jivan Mukta, an illumined soul's mind is full of compassion. That thing plays. That is the main thing plays in his mind. That is the only motivation which forces him to go move forward. Otherwise, he does not have any personal desire, no motivation, no self-interest, no ego. He sees the world, but he knows it is not real. He remains like a sakshi, spectator, witness. Swami Brahmananda was practicing meditation in Vrindavan. A rich man was passing by. In India, sometimes some rich people carries some kind of gifts to the holy people. So it was winter time, he dropped a blanket in front of Swami Brahmananda. Brahmananda was closed eyes, meditating. When that rich man left, a thief came and took away that blanket and left. Brahmananda saw it, he just smiled. Sakshi, just the witness. That gift did not bother him. This man took away that gift. It did not bother him at all. Just unperturbed. If you and me, we would shout and yell, "Hey, why are you taking away my blanket? There is." And we chase you, I shall give you to the police. No. Be happy. Sakshi, the witness, becomes the witness. He is at that time just like a bird sitting on the top of a tree. He is just like a big fish swimming, killer whale in the ocean. He is a little happiness, misery, all these things, priya priyo. It does not bother, they do not bother him at all. He just withdraws his, as you have seen, that if you hit a tortoise, the tortoise withdraws its four legs and head inside the shell. So this illumined soul withdraws all the senses inside and becomes absorbed in blissful God consciousness. His eyes may be open, he does not see like you and me. It's a wonderful state. sachakshu achakshuriva sakarno akarnaiva itadi shrutehi. Witness such shruti passages as, though he has eyes, he has one without eyes. Though possessed of ears, he is one without ears. I remember a story of Buddha. Buddha was, it was a rain, thunderstorm and rain. All of a sudden there is a thunder struck and a farmer died with his two bulls. The villagers rushed to help and saw that Buddha was standing nearby under the tree. Buddha, they asked, "Hello, have you seen this person?" "No." "Have you seen this person dying?" "No." "There was a rain and thunderstorm, you remember?" "Yes." "Are you sleeping?" "No." "Are you awake?" "Yes." "Have you not seen?" "No." "Then where have you been?" He was one with that inmost self. He was not sleeping. He was not awake either, like all of us. We see this, perceive this world through our senses. His senses are not out, but he was not sleeping either. He was really awake within. I was reading that a little incident about Buddha. He was just waiting for death. And he was asking Ananda, "Ananda, could you bring a little water for me?" "Master, have you not seen 500 bullock carts just now cross this shallow river? The water is muddy. I cannot give that water to you." "Ananda, I am thirsty. Please bring a little water for me." Again he repeated the same thing. "Just now 500 bullock carts crossed this river. I cannot bring that muddy water for you to drink." He repeated three times, "Ananda, I am thirsty." "All right, Lord." He took his jar and went to bring water. The moment he came to the water, he saw the water is crystal clear, transparent, pure. He was thinking, it is Buddha's power. Made this water crystal clear in no time. He brought that water for the Lord Buddha. They are ever awakened. Beautiful incident. You know, sometimes I visualize those things. Mahapurinibbana katha, the story of the Mahapurinibbana of Buddha. He sees, he eats, he sleeps, just like children, no attachment for anything. One Vedanta school says, there are three kinds of power of ignorance. With one kind of power, this universe looks real. With another kind of power, this waking state, this vyavaharika, this empirical universe seems to be real. Another, pratibhashik, this dream world seems to be real. The person who is ignorant, has not read the scriptures and has not been initiated, he thinks this world is absolutely real. He is under the first category of ignorance. The second, who heard the mantra and practiced Vedanta and discriminated this universe, he thinks that, you know, this, he sees this empirical universe, this waking state and all these things. He functions is, but he knows that it is not real. But he works. And another person, he thinks this dream world is not real. But he dreams. And when we dream, at that time, dream is real. When the dream breaks, we know that it is not real. In this way, they divided three kinds of ignorance. The three aspects of ignorance. I should not say three kinds of ignorance. Uktancha sushuptama jagrati yona pashyati dvayamcha pashyanopi cha dvayatattva tathacha kurbanopi nishkriyashchaya sa atmabit na anya itiha nishchaya. It has been said, he who does not see anything in the waking state, as in the sound sleep, who, though seeing duality, does not really see it as he sees only the absolute, who, though engaged in work, is really inactive, he and none other is the knower of self. This is the truth. There is a, I do not know it is how true it is. They say this crow has two eyes. When the crow sees the right eye, he does not see the, it does not see through the left eye. Its vision rotates from one eye to the other. When the crow sees with the left eye, it does not see with the right eye. And when through the right eye, it does not see the left eye. So you will see the crow, when they do all this, you know, they are moving their head like this. So the question arises here that, you know, after this illumination, how this illumined soul lives in this world, enjoying food, other nice things, and at the same time, he is absorbed in God consciousness. How is it possible that he does two things at a time? Do you know how? Our Raymond Dopanikar. He can lecture, I think, in 6-7 languages. When he speaks English, his other knowledge of other languages remain dormant. He knows Spanish, English, Sanskrit, Malayalam, French, Italian, and also Latin. He knows many languages. And he can speak, he can lecture. So when one language, when he is speaking with one language, other languages are remain in inside. And when he brings the other language goes down. So similarly, Vishwanandu and Brahmananda, the question is arises that Vishwai, this illumined soul is enjoying food, clothing, and other comforts in this world, and at the same time, he is enjoying Brahman also. How a person can enjoy both things together? Don't you see? A girl is singing and dancing simultaneously. Dancing is an action. Singing is also an action. So singing and dancing can be done both simultaneously. So this person can do both. These are all logic, you know. How does he enjoy? He has no motivation. If you give a dying person who is dying and says, please enjoy this man or woman, you know, if a woman or a man, enjoy. His desire will not come to enjoy because he is dying. So illumined souls, the desire is completely dead. Desire for enjoyment is dead. So how does he do? How does he move? Shetcha anicha paricha ba. Vedanta says, shetcha. Sometimes, like a mood, you know, out of his wish, he said, bring fancy food, I shall eat. Ramakrishna is asking, bring some bitter squash curry, bring tobacco, hubble bubble, I shall smoke. I shall enjoy that sandesh with red color, colored sandesh. He's creating some desire. Why? So that his mind will remain in this earthly plane and he can teach people. Otherwise he will merge into samadhi if he does not have any desire. He cultivates desire, and we are trying to eradicate desire, and he is trying to cultivate desire so that his mind will remain in this world, so that he can teach, he can function. He is praying to the Divine Mother, Mother, samadhi, don't pay. When his kundalini is awakening, he says, Mother, goes down, let me function, let me talk to the devotee, why are you coming to my brain, to my crown chakra, go down. He is fighting to keep his mind in the normal plane. And we try to raise a little bit up, you know, and he is trying to put this thing down. Mother, these devotees have come, don't put me into samadhi right now, let me talk to them. He is praying. He's avoiding samadhi. And we are seeking a little bit samadhi, and he is trying to give up samadhi. Mother, don't bring samadhi right now. The devotees have come from Calcutta. I'll have to talk to them. Just see. Viviki sarvada muktaha kurvato upi nasti kurtita alepa padamashrita Sri Krishna Januku yatha. Viviki, a man of discrimination, is always free. He works, but he is not the doer. Then how do you work if you are not the doer? It's this shababa, momentum. Prakriti kriyamanani, my prakriti, my nature works. I do not work. He sees body like a motor car. Motor car is not the driver. You are the driver. You manipulate the car. The car moves according to your direction. So this Atman uses this body as a car, as a vehicle. Let this body function. Because Atman is at that time is controlling the whole thing. When Swami Vivekananda established Belur Math, he was asking a devotee that I do not know. I started the Ramakrishna Math and Mission. This huge organization, whether I will be tied by bondage or not. The devotee Nag Mahasaya says, my goodness, you are Lord Shiva, no Maya can bind you. Yes, sir, that is the way I feel. I feel I am an instrument, God is using me. When you write with your pen, does the pen become proud that, hey, I am writing all these letters for you? Your body is just like your pen. With that pen, you write. Your body will work. You know, Swami Ramakrishnananda gave that illustration. When I became a monk, I tried to understand that thing. How I can make my body as my pen? Pen never complains. If the pen is out, without ink and you need a refill, you bring a new refill, put it in the pen, again you write. So try to make your body like your pen. Instrument, a vehicle. For what? For illumination. Mukti, liberation. That is your goal. Supreme Soul, as according to Gita, Yanisha Sarbhutanam Tisam Jagruti Sangyami Yasam Jagruti Bhutani Sanisha Pashyato Mune. What is day to a yogi, that is night to the person in this world? What is night to the person in this world, that is day to the yogi? Means we are aware of the worldly things, but the yogi is unaware of it. We are unaware about God consciousness, yogi is aware of it. Just vice versa. Up to this tonight, if you have any questions, please ask. We need one class more. Next week we shall finish this book. Then we shall start Chandogya Upanishad. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Swami, the student, when he is being disciplined by his teacher, and the teacher is maybe relieving him of karma, how does the student keep from feeling shame and guilt as opposed to feeling help and guidance?
You are talking about that student is giving his karma to the teacher.
Yeah.
And the teacher should feel ashamed, you know. I understand. You see, it is very difficult to become a teacher. A teacher like Ramakrishna, Jesus, they have redeeming power. Vicarious atonement, as we read in the Bible. These people, Ramakrishna, Christ, they can take others' karma directly on themselves and they suffer. Christ was taking, I am carrying the cross. Those who are heavy laden, come unto me and I shall give you peace. But Christ, Ramakrishna, they are really God. They are not ordinary teachers, human beings. They are not mortals. They have no karma. But ordinary teachers, they help the students. As Swami Turiyananda mentioned, when he went to teach in California, the American devotees were telling him, Swami, we heard so much about you. You are a wonderful teacher of Vedanta. Turiyananda, with his humility, said to those American San Francisco devotees, you see, I am a small yacht. I can carry, you know, 3, 4, 5 people. But Swami Vivekananda was an Atlantic liner. He could carry thousands. So the, among the teachers, there are various grades of teachers. Some teachers, those are very highly gifted souls, they take others' karma. Other teachers also take part karma, but they know that it is the master who will take the responsibility of the souls. I am just introducing. Our one Swami Vishuddhananda used to say, you know, he was a guru, he was a vice president of our order. Well, I am just like a matchmaker. When a disciple comes, I take to Sri Ramakrishna and introduce him, Master, this person has come, you will now have to just be acquainted with him and just take him, that he is your child, and look after him henceforth. Well, my job is to bring the souls and offer at the feet of Sri Ramakrishna. Well, but you know, sometimes these ordinary gurus, say our Swamis, they do not have, I should not say they do not have power like Christ and Buddha, but they help. I sometimes give this illustration. When you become thirsty, do you go to the Mississippi River? No. You go to your, you know, bathroom or in the kitchen faucet, you drink water. You know that water is coming from the Mississippi River. It is filtered and then it is delivered all over the city. So try to imagine that God is just like the Mississippi River and all these individual faucets are like guru. This faucet is just like a guru. When you drink water, you come to a guru, teacher, who is giving you the water so that your thirst may go away, you know. That is the way I look at ourselves. Swami Sat Prakashananda, who, our old Swami, who established this center, he went to Swami Sivananda and asked Maharaj that some people take initiation from Holy Mother and some people take initiation from Brahmananda. Is there any difference? Sivananda said, no. Same Ganges water coming through two taps, through two faucets, same water, same Shakti. Do you know what? We initiate people, we give spiritual instruction. From the bottom of my heart, I know which is the master. That Guru Shakti is his. His Shakti is working through me. With that Shakti, I help you.